I enjoy bringing a lesson once a month to you guys. I get done with this lesson, I go home and I ask Peggy, what am I going to preach on next month? It becomes a struggle sometimes to pick out a topic. And two or three weeks ago, we were in song service, and somebody led Trust and Obey. And I've never heard a sermon on that. And I thought, you know what, there might be a sermon in those two words. So we're going to look at that tonight. A lot of Bible verses tonight, going to kind of let God talk to us as to what he expects as far as trust and obedience, and then we'll go from there. But when I looked at this, you know, there's an old song about love and marriage and the horse and carriage. They go together, and I got to thinking about that. There's a lot of things that go together. Love and marriage, horse and carriage, trials and tribulations, faith and works. We get into food items that everybody likes, biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, pancakes and syrup. All these things tend to go together, just as trust and obey go together. As we look at this word trust, it's a word sometimes that, you know, we hear a lot. You know, I just don't trust that anymore. I don't trust them anymore. I don't trust you anymore. And I get to thinking, why is that? What happened? Somebody changed? Something in your life changed? Something at work changed? Something changed to make you lose trust. And we know with God, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's not going to change. Okay? So to build a trust in him, you don't have to worry about changing come about and getting down the road 6, 8, 10, 50 years, whatever it is, and saying, I just don't trust him. But we have it in marriages, we have it in family, we have it in work. You know, one of the best examples I can throw out there is in a marriage, if one of them has an adulterous affair, I don't trust you anymore. And it doesn't seem like articles I read and things that I've seen and being the psychologist mind that I've got, it doesn't seem to be that that can ever be truly repaired. That trust issue is always there when something goes wrong. So when we look at trust with God, we know that he's stable. We know that he's not going to change. And if we do put that trust in him, it won't vanish. So we're going to start. I'm going to start with some verses out of Psalms and take a look at what's said there to start us on this path of trust. And I want to start with Psalms 13, verse 5. It reads, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Psalms 37, 5. Psalm 37, 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? We see here in these verses in Psalms, I've trusted in your steadfast love. We know that love is always there. God is love. We know that. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. I've committed my way to the Lord. I trust in him. If I trust in him, he will act. And it says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed is that person. And then the other one in Psalms, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. How many times do we get afraid in our lives and we want to do it ourselves? Where's the trust? Where's God at in your life? Is that trust in your heart? Is it in your mind? And can you just say, God, this is yours. I'm not afraid. That's where we need to be with trust. It has to be an undying trust. We'll go to Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Trust factor. Can we go to God in prayer? Can we know that this is true? Can we trust that God's going to answer these prayers? The answer, of course, to that is yes. Yes, we can. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's so many verses in Proverbs that you could go to with this trust factor. I separated one out because I liked it the best. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it reads this way. Trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him. And then what happens? He will direct your path. Now, that's pretty simple if you just take that verse and put it into your life. But the bottom line here is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And good things will happen. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We look at these verses sometimes, and I look at fear, and it's human nature, I think, to be afraid. It's human nature to have fear, especially of unknown. But there's a lot of things in our life that we could turn over to God and not have that fear in our lives. Why do we fear what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow's not even promised. Now, we can make plans for tomorrow, and we should make plans for tomorrow and know what we're going to, you know, have an idea what we're going to do. But we can't be afraid of what's going to happen. Psychologists will tell you 95% of your thoughts of something bad going on is probably not going to happen. It's just not there. But we worry and worry and worry, and 95% of it goes for naught because it doesn't come to fruition. But if we take and look at this with God, and whoever fears has not been perfected in that love of God. We're not set in that way. All right, so we look at this word trust. When I'm afraid, I will put trust in you. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Comes from Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Then he says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And the last one in here comes from Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." He knows what he wants from us. He knows what he's going to have us do. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. Where's the trust in him to know that he has a plan for me and let me just work the plan instead of working my own plan? How many times we get things figured out on our own and then all of a sudden it goes off in a ditch somewhere? God's plan never goes that way. It stays right focused on what's supposed to happen. But we get jittery with it. We get nervous with it. And more than that, sometimes we get afraid. And that's where this trust comes in. You'll never lose trust in a person or something that does not change. You'll never say to God, "I don't trust you." Because he doesn't change, he's always there, and he will take care of you. Trust. Obey is another situation. It would be hard to have obedience or be able to obey if we didn't have trust. And that's not only with God, that's with just about anything in our life. We go to work, if you don't trust your boss, how in the world are you going to be able to do what he wants you to do? If you don't trust where the company's going or what it's doing, how could you even work for the man? If you don't trust your spouse, how are you going to work together to have an obedience towards God? If you don't trust friends, how are you going to walk through this life? Are you going to be alone all your life and not have any friends? Somewhere you have to have trust. And somewhere with that trust, you're going to have some obedience and obey what's going to happen. You know, we get in situations with friends and family, maybe we don't want to go do that. But we have enough trust and respect for them that we'll do something, maybe that we don't want to. And that's where we got to be with God. Sometimes he's going to have us do things that we're uncomfortable with. Things that we don't want to do. But we have to have that trust and we have to have that obedience in him that we're doing the right thing to get in order to get it done. So we look at obedience. I want to start in Acts 5:29. Acts 5:29 reads this way. "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." We ought to obey God other than men. We got into a discussion in my Bible class this morning about denominations and why are there so many denominations. What is a denomination? And basically, a denomination is anything that's not God's church. Mormons, Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists, you go right down the line with all of them. And the reason that there's denominations is because somewhere they have obeyed what man wanted done and not what God wanted done. And how do you teach someone that's in that situation? You have to let God do the talking. Because it might be that grandma and grandpa were there, and mom and dad were there, my brothers and sisters were there, and I'm not changing. So we have to get into a situation where we can let God talk, let God do the teaching. That's obedience. How do we obey what God wants done? We go to the scriptures and let God tell us. Peter and the other apostles said, maybe we ought to believe, do what God wants us to do instead of men. Romans 13:1. I hate it when my pages stick together. 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. In this day and age, we need to live that. We need to understand that. There's so much going on out in the world right now, and I feel sorry for what's going on with the people that are not getting paychecks and stuff. But the thing is that we have to understand, God's in control. He will figure it out, and he will put an end to what and do whatever's going to be done. Now go back and read this again. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Nothing happens in the world without God being okay with it or saying, putting his okay on it. We know back in the Old Testament, we had good judges, bad judges, good leaders, bad leaders. It's all happened all along. But somewhere along the line, God said to them, you want kings? I'll give you kings. You want leaders? I'll give you leaders. But this verse reminds us, he's the ultimate leader. He's the one in charge. Okay? So let everyone be subject to governing authorities, but there is no other authority except God that we need to answer to. Yes, we have to obey the laws of the land. Yes, we have to obey the laws that's set up. But ultimately, for salvation, it's God that we need to look to. John 10. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I don't know if you've ever been on a farm or been around cattle or sheep, but sheep will follow. They trust the man or person that's leading them, and they'll follow that. If we take this verse and look at it and know that if we trust in God, we're his sheep, we hear his voice, we'll follow him. But it comes back to what we talked about earlier with trust, and now we obey what he has to say to us. Matthew 7, 21. One of the scariest passages in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Obey. Do we trust God? Do we trust Jesus? Do we trust enough to do this kind of obedience? For our own salvation, our own purpose, we better. Not everyone who says to me is going to go to heaven. Well, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. And I've had discussions with this with other people. Well, I'm a good person. Okay, that's fine. Be a lot of good people aren't going to go to heaven because they're not obedient to the point that God needs the obedience done. The trust factor isn't there for some reason. We talk about, well, I believe in God. That's great. Do you believe God? That's a whole other situation. Because God's got a lot to say. And if you're going to believe in God, then that's not going to get you anywhere. You need to believe God and believe what's said. And not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. To me, that's a scary, scary verse in the Bible. And how the people out in the world, people must just tear this page out of their Bible. I don't know how you get around that. James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right, that's pretty simple. Trust in God, obey God. The devil doesn't want anything to do with you. Go find somebody else. Why work on something he can't conquer? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's promise. James 1, 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's tough. That's a hard passage. How do we become joyous in trials and tribulations? By giving them to God, going to the scripture, and figure out what to do. And it'll come out okay. So we look at this obedience and this obey word, and we see we must obey God. There is no authority except that which God has established, himself first. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Not everybody says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to go to heaven. James says, submit yourselves then to God. The testing of your faith produces patience. Patience is a learned behavior, not something that comes easy for us. You know, the old jokes, I talked to God and prayed for patience and I won it yesterday. And that's sometimes our attitude. I'm going to close with a couple of verses out of the song that we're going to end with in the invitation. But before that, I'm going to leave you with this out of scriptures in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. And it reads, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then he goes on in verse 6 and he says, In this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Trust and obey. We go to the song. I just want to read the first verse. I want to cover that just a little bit. And then we'll have the invitation, and Sam's going to lead us in the song. First verse reads, When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. He'll show us the way. He'll show us the path. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. The chorus reads this way, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We have to trust, we have to obey, if we're going to ask ourselves and put ourselves in a position to have salvation and the promise that God has given all of us, that he's built a place for us with him. Trust and obey. The invitation is open for those that have not had the opportunity to put their Lord on in baptism. If there are any here that are in that situation, back to the sermon. Trust and obey. Do what God says. If there's those that need some help as far as their personal life, need some prayers of this congregation, we also are here for that. And I'd say this, trust this congregation, trust the prayers that we send up to God because they are answered. With that, Sam's going to lead us in the invitation song.